at the Oasis, we're going to talk about the year 2017. It's a new year. Remember that? Remember on your checks and things, got to start writing 2017. It's a brand new year. I want to call it the year to persevere. Okay, the year to persevere. My son asked me, Dad, what's the title of your message? I said, 2017, the year to persevere. He said, does it have to rhyme? I said, no, but I like it. It's got a little ring to it. Praise God. That's a year to persevere. And I actually say it that way so that maybe we'll remember it. That, man, remember that pastor said it was the year to persevere. It's going to be a good year for that. So let's get into it. Praise God. Father, we thank you for this word. Thank you for your time that you have given to us, Lord, that we have this life on earth that we have gratefully received. We're living it out, Lord. We're here in church on a Sunday morning on the first of the year, Father, in looking forward to hearing what you're going to do in our life, Lord. We thank you for it. Thank you for the beautiful day you've given us. Thank you for prospering us. Thank you for leading us into your word and the guidance and the instruction, all the things that it is, Lord, that it'll bring about the fruits of righteousness and restore compel us, Lord, as Christian believers to go forward and spread the gospel in your kingdom and bringing all the glory and giving it all to you, Father. We praise you for it in Jesus' name. We all said, amen. Amen. So here we are in 2017. We're living in a world that is, for lack of a better term, it is designed to pull you away from your faith in Christ. It is literally designed and in so many different ways to be able to lead people astray from the true gospel of Jesus Christ, the grace, the good news that he has to offer us. It is designed to weaken your faith in Jesus, just by nature. Because there's so many things that we can run to other than Jesus, and it just keeps getting easier to do that. You know, let's make it easy, okay? Easier to be able to do that. This is like, oh, Emily sent out the thing on Facebook. I got a kick out of that, you know. Let's make communion even easier. And as people walk in, we just give them a prepackaged little, you know, bread and wine in a little plastic cup thing that's all prepackaged, and you just hand that out as they come in. It makes it easier, right? It's our world. It's just designed that way to make things simple and easy. Okay, but with all the things that are going on, we're going to need to be equipped with every possible weapon that God has given us, with every potential and possible tool that God has offered us, and all the instruction that we can possibly get in order to be able to persevere in our walk with God, to stay strong as a believer. Okay? And so, I know I mentioned earlier about leading people to Christ and all that and how important that is. And it could be that the body of Christ is not, the evangelism is not happening, not just here, but everywhere, because of that lack of that walking it in a different pace or a different drummer, you know, than the world does. Because the world is designed to pull us away, to melt it together, to make it so we're all kind of the same. Okay? And that means that it's a compromise on the Christian's part to do that. The world around us has a very strong presence. I mean, it's effective in what it does. It has a strong presence. It has a powerful influence. And I'm not going to deny that, right? I'm not going to say, no, it's easy to live. Okay? To rise above or to press through it, we need to not only have a vision for the divine outcome that we're pursuing, but also we need an understanding of how to practically apply the Word of God and how to actively receive the power of the Holy Spirit and the gifts that He has to offer us so that we can effectively and purposefully reach our destiny, that we can reach where God is calling us to. Each one of us has a calling of God. It's not just me as a pastor. God has got a calling that He has you that He wants you to fulfill. And in order to do that, we've got to have all the tools and weapons, all the things that we need to be able to get there. So this morning to get started, I've got six things. They get shorter. So if I go through number one and two and you're like, we're going to be here all day, they get shorter as I go on. So don't get alarmed. But the first couple just have a lot to them. But we're going to go through six things that I think will help you, that will encourage you in this year that we have, to help you to persevere, to stand strong, to be a bold believer. OK, Okay, and I'm going to start out by sharing with you an exhortation, something that you need to get deep down in your spirit in order for you to successfully persevere in this year and in every area of your life. Okay, and the first thing, I know that there's a book out, and this has nothing to do with the book, but the first one is to be willing to do hard things. Okay, be willing to do hard things. Because we would love it if our walk with God was just like a cakewalk. Right? If we just walked around. Anybody been to a cakewalk? They had one in North Dakota one year and we went up there and I think Isaac actually won a cake at it. But they play the music and you walk around in the circle and there's chairs there. I think they just had something marked on the floor and you just walked around in a circle with all the other people. And when the music stopped, you stopped. And if you were on the cake, one that won the cake, you won the cake. Okay? It'd be great if our Christian walk was kind of like that. That we just kind of go through life and listen into the music. And when the music stops, we just hope we receive a prize. You know, maybe we do, maybe we don't. Life's just kind of happy. You know, oh, not this time, maybe next time, music starts again, we keep going. Okay, it'd be great if life as a Christian was like a cakewalk. But the reality is that it doesn't work quite like that. Okay, the Christian life is not always easy. In fact, you know, receiving Jesus is easy. He made that easy. We receive Him by faith. But to walk out your faith day after day is definitely no cakewalk. Okay, it takes work. It takes effort. Like we've been talking about a couple weeks ago, we were talking about that. It takes more than just faith. Now we apply our action to that faith that says that, yes, I do believe. So it takes work. It takes effort. It takes fortitude and what I call a deep-rooted perseverance, an attitude that says, I'm going to succeed no matter what. I'm going to persevere. See, when Jesus described what happened to people when they received His word, three out of the four descriptions are of people that don't make it unto the end. Three out of the four where the seed was planted were people that wouldn't endure unto the end with their faith still in Jesus. Okay, so it takes some persevering. It takes more than just a little believing in the beginning. One of those that didn't make it or that doesn't make it is the one that gives up when life gets a little bit difficult. Things start going a little bit rough, not the direction I wanted it to go, maybe not something, some huge blessing, I really wanted that, and that didn't happen, so now I'm going to fall away a little bit. There is a falling away that takes place sometimes in the body of Christ. Well, let's read this in Mark chapter 4, verse 16 and 17. Jesus said, He's describing the parable, said, these are they, likewise, which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately they receive it with gladness. But they have no root in themselves, and so they endure but for a time. And afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Okay? Immediately they are offended or caused to stumble. You know, when things aren't just peachy, and they actually have to fight to maintain their faith in Christ, then they become offended, okay, or they are caused to stumble at that point. It becomes more difficult, a little bit harder than they thought it was going to be, and so they stumble. They trip, and rather than trying to catch themselves, they just succumb to the fall, okay, and this happens. People give up. They put no effort into keeping themselves from hitting the ground or stumbling all the way down. Or maybe as they do stumble, they don't they fall, but they put no effort into getting back up and going on. Okay? Now, each one of us at times, I'm sure you can think in your own life of little things or big things or whatever, where you have tripped and stumbled and fallen, but you've gotten back up. You're here today. Okay? Because you got back up and you said, I'm not quitting. Nope. My walk with God is more valuable, more important, more necessary than that. Okay, now I know some of you watch a little bit of football now and then. So let me ask you this. What makes a great running back? Okay, somebody that wins the Heisman as a running back or somebody that excels in their team and gets to the NFL, they get recruited or drafted into the NFL and now they're playing and they end up as the Super Bowl MVP. What makes a good running back? Is it the guy that when, you know, somebody grabs a shoestring and jerks on it a little bit, that they just stumble and fall down to the ground? I mean, is that the guy that, you know, doesn't have any stamina or, you know, any put any extra effort into it? Or is it the guy that when the would-be tackler has him just about down, he spins out of it, puts his hand on the ground? You know how they do, you've seen this. They're going down to the ground, they're stumbling, they're going to fall, but they tuck the ball under one arm, put the other hand on the ground, because it's their knees that make them down, right? So they put their hand on the ground and they keep right on running. And they push themselves back up. Or even at that last moment when they're just falling, I mean, they're all wrapped up, they can't do anymore, they still give it one more lunge at the last second so that they get that extra yard or that extra 2 yards or whatever they possibly can. That's what makes a good running back. It's not the one that goes down easy. Okay? It's not necessarily even the one that runs all over the place. It's the one that puts in the extra effort. That's, you know, they say that certain guys in the NFL, you watch Barry Sanders or some of these videos of these guys, absolutely unstoppable. I mean, they'd have them wrapped up, 3, 4, 5 guys, and they'd all be all over him, and he just kept working and fighting and, you know, going after it until they all just started falling off, and next thing you know, he's running down the field, and they're all chasing after him. You know, that kind of stuff happens. You know, it's the one that keeps driving. Believe me today when I remind you that the devil has your number. Okay? The devil doesn't like you, and he wants to cause you to stumble, and he's going to grab your shoestrings, he's going to wrap you up, he's going to assault you or come at you. He is roaming the earth seeking whom he may devour. And if you do not determine in your heart to fight for every blessing that you can get, he's going to knock you down and you're not going to receive all everything that God has for you in your life. Okay? He's going to keep you from getting those extra blessings that God wanted to give you. That's when you give in. That's when it gets a little bit hard and you quit fighting and just say, well, I guess this is it. And you just give in to that. Okay? Determine in your heart. Make it a point to go the extra mile. I will never give up on my walk with God. I will never give in to less than what God has for me. And set your mind to keep standing with Jesus no matter what comes your way. You know, your walk may not always be easy as a Christian, but be willing to do the hard things, to do it anyway, to go anyway, to do it anyway, to pray it anyway, to say it, to go, to be a part of it, and to do what God wants you to do. And that's going to help lead to your success as a Christian in your walk. Number two, it wasn't too long. Number two, step out. Okay? If you're going to persevere, you got to get out of the boat. You're going to have to step out into a realm where you're not as comfortable. You have to step out into believing in something that you can't see. Because, right, that's what being a Christian is, right? We believe on somebody. I've never met Jesus face to face, but I got everything in him. I believe everything wholeheartedly in him. It means that by faith, you're going to have to get over your fear of the unknown. Get over the fear that says, I don't know what might come next. I'm just going to take it easy. I'm just going to wait and see. I'm just going to watch from a distance and see how it works for other people, and then maybe I'll take that step. You know, I'm telling you, there are blessings out there. If we get over that fear of the unknown, what is that person going to say if I go up and talk to them? If I just say hello and how you doing and how's your day been going? That's not a bad conversation. It's not hard to have that. And yet so many people are afraid of that. What if they don't like me? What if they yell at me? What if they, you know, make fun of me when I walk away? What if they're afraid of the unknowns? It could be some, you know, beautiful relationship about to be built, but people don't step into it because they're afraid of an unknown. They're afraid of stepping out at all. You know, there are blessings out there that God wants you to have. There are people that are waiting to be led to Christ out there. There are promises and there are answers to your prayers out there that God is waiting for you to step out in faith to receive them. You know, it's very clear from our instruction book that God gave us in the Bible that we will repeatedly be asked to step out into the unknown as a believer. repeatedly asked to step out into the unknown as a Christian believer. You know, when the Apostle Paul was preaching, he was explaining to other people why he lived the way that he did. You know, they were kind of questioning him, why do you live that way when you know that harm may come to you? Or why do you do those kinds of things? This is what he said, Acts 20, verse 22. Paul says, "Now behold," he said, "I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will befall me there, except that the Holy Ghost witnessed in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions will abide me." So he did know what he was getting into a little bit. "But none of these things," he says, "move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God." Okay, Paul said that he was compelled to go to Jerusalem, not knowing what may befall him there, not knowing what it was going to happen to him. But then he also said, even though the Holy Spirit had been telling him that every city he went to, he would potentially be bound and suffer afflictions, he was willing to do the hard thing, to do it anyway, and step out anyway. "Even though I don't know exactly what's going to happen, I'm still willing to step out and to go and to do those things anyway." He was compelled to do that. Fear did not keep him bound up. Fear did not keep him from going and stepping into. Imagine if he would have never gone to Jerusalem. Imagine that. We wouldn't be where we're at today in the Christian church. Okay? So he didn't let fear keep him bound up or keep him what God wanted him to do. He was determined to be moved by God instead of moved by fear or bound by fear. And his desire to serve God was all the motivation that he needed to step out in faith, to step out into the unknown, to go forth. It was simply by faith as well that Abraham, another great man of God, it was by faith alone that he entered his name into the great hall of faith in chapter 11 of Hebrews. I call it the chapter of faith. Okay? He didn't know where he was going, but he went out with nothing but a promise from God. That's all he needed. God said, God promised, Hebrews 11:8, "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance," God had promised him, "he obeyed and he went out not even knowing where he was going." Didn't know whither he went. Okay, he didn't know where he was going. He didn't know what he might run into, but he knew that God had promised him something better than his current situation. And that is, no matter what we're in, we have to be determined that God has promised me, if it's a bad situation, God, I guarantee you, God has promised you better than your current situation, so go after that. And go after it with just the promise, if that's all you've got to go on. God's promise to you in His Word is that He has given you all things that pertain unto life and godliness. God has given you all things that pertain unto life and godliness. He has offered you everything you need for every situation in your life. Even with that one promise, out of the thousands of promises that God has given you, that should be enough for you to be willing to step out in faith every day. Just to go forward, God said He's going to give me all things that pertain unto life and godliness. With that one promise, I can go through life. With that one promise, if that's the only scripture, you know, in some of the martyr magazines and different things, the Voice of the Martyr, some of you guys have heard of that or read that, but there are stories of guys in there that somebody would have ripped out one page out of a Bible and handed them out, you know, just one page, and that's all they had to go on while they were stranded and in prison for years and years and years. They had one page of the Bible, and they were able to make it through. That's how powerful one promise of God. If they could find one thing in there to cleave to that God said He would supply all my needs, or God said He would give me all things that pertain unto life and godliness. If God said one promise that was all that they needed, and yet God has given you thousands of promises in the Bible. If you get a promise Bible, a lot of them have it highlighted in different colors. Mine, I used to, as a young Christian, used to do it in blue. Blue is a promise from God, and it's lit up with blue because there's so many promises in there that God wanted to give us. We should be able to step out in faith every day with our head held high, knowing that God is on our side. God has promised me that's all I need. God wants good things for you, and you can rest assured that He is well able to provide those things for you. Okay, you were saved by faith, so now you live by faith. You begin to step out in it. Hebrews 10:23. He said, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that has promised." You know, the Bible says to fight the good fight of faith. Okay, walking by faith is not something that is going to come natural or come easy all the time. Okay, it is not going to come natural until it has been made your common practice. Okay, when you know the promises of God and you expect those promises to come to pass, then stepping out in faith to pursue them becomes more normal for you. It's easy. It wasn't hard for Peter to get out of the boat. He didn't even think about it. Right? Didn't even cross his mind. "I'm just going. Call me, Lord. I'll come to you." And he got out of the boat and he began to walk to him. It was normal for him to be on the edge of what God was doing. Or, you know, if God said I could do it, I could do it. If Jesus asked me to come to him, I can do it. It wasn't hard for him to do. That's a good example. Okay? When you know the promises, you expect them to come to pass, then walking or stepping out in faith to pursue them becomes more normal for you. Okay, then when walking by faith is the only way you know how to respond, then you could be more consistent. You're not wavering with good day today, a bad day tomorrow, a good day after that. Or maybe you have a joyful day one day and then a distressed day the next day. And then you're back to kind of an okay day. Then you have a good day and then it's a stressful, stressed out, bad day again. Okay, when we get so that walking by faith is normal, trusting in God and relying on Him as our everyday experience, it begins to level that out where every day becomes more of a peaceful day. Because walking with Him is going to have that peace element to it. You know, when you trust in God's ability to accomplish things more than your own ability, then you'll be stepping out in faith. You're eagerly pursuing the dreams, and even when all the details are not yet known, okay? Even when we don't know exactly what's going to happen, we can still be pursuing and stepping after those dreams because we know that we're trusting in God and His ability. Number three, here's the catch. Here's the hang up for a lot of people. Don't give up too soon. Don't give up too soon. Okay? Some of you are thinking, "Give up? I haven't even started yet." Come on. Don't give up too soon. So often Christians are right on the edge of a victory in their life. So often they're right on the edge of victory, but they don't see the point in what they're doing. They don't see the purpose of what they've been asked to do by God. They don't see why I'm still at this job. Why am I still in this relationship? Why is this? They don't see the purpose of it. So they begin to lose heart or they quit. You know, if God is asking you to do something and He's got you in a particular place and all of a sudden you say, "I don't want to do it anymore," and you just quit, or you do it half-heartedly, okay? Just kind of nonchalant, "Yeah, I guess I'll just suffer through this," and we quit kind of pursuing and going after it. God says in His Word that in everything you do, to do it heartily as unto the Lord, right? In everything you do, to do it heartily. Okay, we don't want to settle for mediocrity or not put everything we've got into something. When God has got you in any area of your life, God wants you to go after with everything you've got and not just pursue it in mediocrity. At one point, here's a good example, but God called the prophet Elisha to go to King Joash, the king of Israel. Okay, told him to go and to give him some instructions. So Elisha goes to the king and he says, "Take a handful of arrows and smack them on the ground." Elisha didn't understand the purpose of it, didn't understand what was going to happen if he did or didn't do it. But he thought, "Well, man of God told me to do it, I better do it." So he takes a handful of arrows and smack, 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 hits them three times on the ground, and then he stops. And Elisha told him, "Why did you only do it three times? If you'd have kept doing it, you would have had complete and total victory over one of your greatest enemies." He didn't see the point. He didn't see the purpose. He just thought, "Well, I'll just do it. Yeah, God's telling me to stay in this job, but I'm just going to do it like this." gifts, or God's telling me, you know, to be in, you know, help with ministry, or God's doing this, I'm just going to do it like this. Just do it kind of casually, kind of nonchalant, and see what happens. Now, I don't want to put too much effort into it. It might not mean anything, but it might be the edge of victory. It might be right there at that point. Okay? If King Joash had put his heart into it and he had hit the ground hard and repeatedly until the prophet told him to stop, he would have had a lifelong triumph over his greatest enemy. Let's read that. 2 Kings 13:18. This, he said, take the arrows. And he took them. He said, unto the king of Israel, smite upon the ground. And he smote thrice. And then he stopped. And the man of God was wroth with him and said, thou should have smitten 5 or 6 times. Then hadst thou smitten Syria until thou hadst consumed it. Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria only three times. That your enemies would come after him and come after him. He could have had complete victory. Some of you have had your troublesome sin on the run. You've had it victory. You've had it so that it was running away from you. You had resisted against it. You had stood up against it and said no. You've been right on the edge of it. One more hour. One more day. One more week of resisting it. And it would have been shoved so far from you it could have never come back. But you eased up in your stance against it, and it came back to torment you again. Okay? And some of you know what I'm talking about. There's things in your life that you've struggled with. You begin to get victory over it, and you're getting victory, and you're getting victory, and then you let up on it, and you take that step back and say, well, I guess it's not that big a deal. And you take that step back, and it comes back again. Some of you have been on the water's edge. You've been right on the edge of the river of God. It's laid out right in front of you. And you're just about to step in over your head. And you're going to go with the flow of the Spirit, wherever the Spirit of God wants to take you. But you get right on the edge of that and you let fear talk you out of it. I don't know how deep that is. I don't know where that river's going. I don't know where God might take me or lead me. I don't know what's going to happen. And so you let that fear or that control come back and you say, no, I'm gonna maintain control, and you talk yourself out of it. Rather than giving the Holy Spirit full control and the flow of your life, you say, no, I'm gonna stay in control of my life. You are right there, right on the edge of that. You might believe deep down inside that God wants to use you in some ways, maybe in miraculous ways. Maybe He'll use you to lead someone to Christ. Maybe He wants to use you to heal a friend or to bless the body of Christ or to do something for the people in your life, but you allow your pride or that control or that fear to rise up and say, no, I better stay in control of myself. I'm telling you, if being so yielded to God is where you want to be, if you want to give your life to Him in a way that whatever He wants to do, if that's the dream that's rolling around inside of you, don't quit that dream. Don't quit it. Keep staying with it and pursue it. Be willing. Be pursuing and follow God's lead all the way to the completion of that. Number 4, be consistent. Be consistent in your walk. The word consistent means to be unchanging in achievement or effect over a period of time. To be unchanging in achievement or effect over a period of time. That means continually the same response. Okay, there are things in your life that you do right now that you've been doing the same way over and over again and achieving the same result over and over again for so long that it's best described as a habit. It is a habit for you to do the wrong thing. It's a habit for you to engage in stuff that you know better. It's a habit for you to do that. And you've gotten to the point where you do it without even thinking about it. It's the normal response for you. It is something that is unchanging in achievement or effect over a period of time. It is consistent. So to create a new or a better habit, you must do something repeatedly or consistently that lines up in a different direction that will achieve a different result. To develop a consistent walk of faith, you have to know that it is what you do the most that will become your strongest habit. So if you have a habit of doing something the wrong way and you want to change that, you've been doing it 10 times a day, okay, you're going to have to do it 15 times a day the right way. You can, even if it's still doing it 10 times a day, but now you're doing it 15 times a day the right way, what you do the most will become your habit. It will become your strongest habit. Okay, and eventually those 10 times doing it wrong are going to go away. Most of us, here's an example, goofy one, but it's what I thought of. Okay, most of you have been putting your socks on since you were Clara and Bennett's age. You're little babies, little kids. When you grab a sock to put it on, you do not try to put on the closed end of a sock on your foot. Okay? We don't try to struggle and get it on. It won't go on. I can't figure out why it won't go on. And then you look at it and think, well, maybe I'll try this open end and put it on. Okay? We don't do that because for years, our entire life, we have learned and have a habit. When you pick up a sock, you pick it up by the open end so that you can slip it right on your foot. We don't pick it up from the wrong end and try it the wrong way first. Okay? It's a habit. It's something we've created. We do it without even thinking about it. Okay? The first thing we do when we pick up a sock is to position it to go on right. Okay? Well, in your Christian walk, when you develop things as a strong habit, something like prayer, if you develop prayer, it's just something you go to. It's your go-to answer for everything. I'm going to pray. I'm going to talk to God. When prayer becomes your strong habit, you will be in mid-sentence in conversation with God before you even realize what was going on. I'm already talking to God. I'm already praying in the Spirit. I pray in the Spirit. I pray in tongues. Okay, and we call it what it is. I pray in tongues all the time. And I don't think about it. I don't have to, you know, work myself up. It's just a natural part of my day. I just, all of a sudden, I'm praying in the Spirit. And God is beginning to show and to reveal and to make things start clicking because it's that habit that has been created. You know, when stepping out in faith becomes a habit for you and it becomes easier and more of a strong, consistent habit in your life, you're already going to be walking on the water before you realize you can't do it. You're already out there doing it. Who says you can't do it now? Try to tell Peter that he can't walk on water. Peter knows he can walk on water. He took several steps on it before he began to look at the circumstances. His testimony his whole life was, I walked on water, just like Jesus, right? Okay, he knew that he could do it because he had gotten out of the boat and did it. Okay, what is it in your walk that would that you know would benefit you more than your current habit? What do you have as a habit? Something that you do on a regular basis, it's just normal for you. But what is it that you, if you change that habit, you could have a better benefit in your life? Maybe it's something like memorizing scriptures or being more consistent going to church. You guys are here today, so you're pretty consistent, but praise God for that. But maybe it's not getting involved in the community. Maybe you're kind of a stay-at-home kind of person, and that's been your habit. And maybe you want to create a habit of getting more involved in the community or your church or serving and those kinds of things. And so by yielding yourself to serve others, you begin to create a new habit in your life. And now that becomes more normal for you. You know, maybe pouring out negative things out of your mouth about yourself, about your spouse, about other people. Maybe that's your norm right now. That the first response is negative things that come out. If that's what you're consistently doing now, and you learn that speaking life, speaking hope about yourself or to yourself and others is a new habit that you can obtain by changing that. You got to make yourself do some of this stuff. It's not going to come easy. It's just like, oh God, help me do this. And then sit back and wait for it to happen. It doesn't happen. Make it happen. If you need to memorize a scripture, write it down. Put it on a postcard. Put it in your phone. Do what you got to do so that you've got it and remind yourself every day. It's on your refrigerator. Every day, put it on your phone. Put it as a homepage on your phone. Okay, phone techie people. Okay, and it's going to be right there every time you grab your phone. There it is. Oh, yeah, God wants me to watch my mouth today. Oh, yeah, God wants me to, you know, go to church. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves with others. You know, oh, yeah, I got to go to church today. Okay, put it there. Make it a habit. Okay, you can make a a new habit of shutting your phone off when you're at home with your loved ones. Now, I know some people have jobs, you got to leave it on. But you don't have to have your phone on at home when you're already surrounded by the people that you're closest to. I know some of you are too young to remember what an old phone line was like, or not having a, you had one phone with a cord like 40 feet long, so if you had to talk to your girlfriend, you could go down in the basement on the phone. Okay, we can shut that off so that we can focus on our attention on our loved ones that are right there, that we're seeing every day, that we're interacting with, rather than Facebook friends that we haven't conversed with for 10 years and we probably won't converse with for another 10 years. Who cares what they had for supper tonight? You know, I got stuff this last week, and a guy that was a, I wouldn't even call him a friend. I don't know why I'm a Facebook friend with this guy. He was kind of mean and stuff back then, but somehow we ended up Facebook friends, right? I don't care that he got a new truck. I really don't. I don't, and if he's out, you know, whatever, partying in Redfield, South Dakota, and sends a snapshot of him and all the buddies, you know, drinking it up, I don't really care about that. So why do that? Why have that on the kitchen table? Why have that in on my counter and in my bedroom nightstand when I could be talking to my wife, or I could be eating and enjoying dinner with my family and my friends? We could be talking about life that matters. Why am I doing this? Why am I doing this stuff? It doesn't matter. That's a habit. It's something that has gotten there. Yeah, we need to change a habit. We need to create a new one. Okay? Philippians 3:15. I'm going to finish this up. Let us therefore as many as be perfect. That word in King James means mature. Okay? So if you want to mature, be thus minded. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. So I'm not here to tell you what habits you need to change, what new, better habits you need to create or develop, but the Holy Spirit certainly will if you ask Him. Ask Him to reveal some things. Remember the psalmist wrote, "Search, create in me a clean heart, O Lord. Show me. Search my heart. Tell me what's in my heart." Because I tell you, He knows you better than you. Because we've created a habit of doing the wrong things. Some of us have got this snowed over that we don't even see what we're doing anymore. Don't even realize how it's hurting or affecting the people around us. The Holy Spirit can see that stuff, and He will reveal it to you as much as you can handle. Number 5, be ready. How are we doing? We're getting long-winded today. You guys ready? Almost done. These two will go quick. Be ready. The Apostle Paul said, out of all the stuff he's learned in his Christian walk, out of all the things that he knew and learned in his walk with his walk with Jesus Christ, he had learned that the key was to let go of the past and to press toward the future that God had called him to. And that's an unknown. We don't know exactly the extent of what God will use us for, but we know it's going to be good. We know it's going to be God. And so that's what Paul was saying, forgetting all that other stuff, I'm pressing towards what God has for me. Let's read it, Philippians 3:13. It says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which lie behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before me, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." It is quite possible today that you need to raise your expectations in your walk with God. You need to raise the bar a little bit to begin to see that God has a potential that is completely different than what you envision. It's bigger, better. I guarantee it. God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. It doesn't mean that we can never know what He wants for us, but that means that whatever it is, if we come to this level, God's probably thinking up here. Okay, it's that person that thinks, "Oh, I'm going to, you know, make this amount of money this year," and God's thinking, "No, I want you to make this amount." Okay, God is always going to have a little bit more. Okay, God is not wanting you to settle for second best. Paul was determined. He said he was determined to press toward the high calling of God. He was not going to settle for second best. He wasn't going to settle for less than, to allow himself to be complacent or content with less than the very best that God wanted for him. He was pressing toward the high calling of God, not the mediocre calling. He wasn't pressing towards medium. He wasn't pressing towards cold or medium. He was pressing towards the high. I want as much of God as I can get. As totally further, as far into him as you can get. Okay, to press towards something means that you lean into it. Okay, and here's an example. It means to be ready. Okay, I've coached and Margie coached Little League Baseball for several years. And as part of that, there's one coach in particular we love. It was the first coach we ever coached with, this lady. She always has this expression to her team. She coaches the little ones, you know, the real little guys. And so her expression is, "Rockies, be ready! Get down and ready!" You can just hear it all the time. Get down and ready! Get off your feet! Get on your toes! Get down and ready! Because a coach can tell, when you're looking at the team, you can tell who is ready and who's standing there like this. Flat-footed, that ball's going to come. And I'll tell you, when we get into the older kids, we coach them, if you're standing like this and that kid hits a line drive, you're dead meat. I mean, you're going to get smucked. Because you can't respond when you're standing back, kicking back, waiting for something to happen. And it happens all the time. Kids get hit with a baseball. They get drilled. Because they're just kind of kicking back, playing in the dirt a little bit, doing whatever. Not paying attention. They're not ready. To be ready means that you're down and ready. When she describes that, when we coach the kids, we say, get down. Get down like this. Get down and ready. So you're ready to move at a moment's notice. As soon as any action takes place, you're after it. And if you watch the pro baseball players, every ball, they're down like this. Just ready to pounce on that ball as soon as it's hit. They won't wait for it to come to them. They're going to get on it and go pick that up. Well, I believe that being in a ready stance like that is what we need to do as a Christian to be ready for the next thing that God is going to do in our life. The next thing that God wants to use me for. What are you going to use me for today, God? I'm ready. I'm willing. And I'm just going to pounce on it. Whenever you give me that word, go, whenever some action happens, I'm after it. I think we are to daily experience God in such a way that we're not kicking back, waiting for God to do something. I wish God would bring more people into our church. Let me stop right there. Okay, we don't want to be kicking back, waiting for God to do something. We are not standing flat-footed, but we're in a ready stance. We're up on our toes, leaning into the next thing that God is going to use us for. Who in your life will God use you to be a light for today? Who in your life will God allow you or call you to serve today? How can you be of service to the other person that's in your life, whether it's a significant other or a complete and total stranger? Are you ready to fulfill the plan and the answer to God's call? Number 6 is a short one. Patiently persevere. Okay, remember this is called 2017, the year to persevere. Okay, it's going to take all year to persevere through 2017. That's a funny, right? It's going to take all year to persevere through 2017. It's not all going to happen in one day, and all these things I'm talking about are just poof, I'm perfect. I got new habits. I'm a servant of God. I'm always ready, you know. It's not always going to happen in just a minute. Jesus reminded us often that they that endure unto the end would be saved. Paul encouraged us to determine to finish our course with joy. And we are plainly instructed that it is through faith and patience that we inherit the promises of God. They've been given, they're guaranteed, but by faith and patience we inherit them. Great and precious promises have been freely given to you, and some of them may come quickly. Some of them may come overnight. Some of them may come easily. But many of the greatest promises of God come through simple, steadfast, consistent, faithful perseverance. Standing in it no matter what. I'm going to keep going forward with God. Okay, we keep on keeping on with our hope in God and His best plan for our life out in front of us. That is our hope on a daily basis. I want to fulfill what God has for me because it's going to be good. I want to fulfill the best that God has. You've heard it said before that your best days are yet to come. I honestly believe that your best days are yet to come. If you will stand with me, join with me in expecting it, this can be your very best year yet as a Christian. That you can flourish in the things of God. Your life will be shining brighter than at any point in your life by expecting and anticipating and persevering through the things that the world throws at us. Father God, we praise you this morning. Grateful for an opportunity to learn of you, to be encouraged by you in your word, Lord. And I pray that as we go forth from here, that, Father, your word sticks with us, that we will desire and determine to persevere. Lord, that we won't just kick back and wait for things to happen, but we will eagerly pursue and anticipate, that we will make ourselves ready, that we will begin to ask and to pursue and to seek what it is that you would like to change in our life so that we can grow, Lord. I pray that we will be willing to step out into the unknown, Lord. That even if we're a little unknown, or it's a little leery, or we're a little, don't know exactly how it might happen or what you might do, but we're still willing. And I pray that we're willing to step into it no matter what. Father, use your Holy Spirit, your power in our life, Lord, to glorify your name by encouraging us, feeding us the word, the scriptures that we need, Lord, to be a light for our path, Lord, to give us the next step, the next direction, that we can know exactly where we need to be, Lord. I pray you'll encourage us to be bold in this coming days, in the coming year, Lord, to step out in faith, to eagerly go after the best that you have for each one of us, Lord. We give you the praise for it. We thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen.